If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations tonight, Lamentations and chapter number 3. Lamentations 3, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Lamentations 3, begin reading in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Listen to these beautiful words. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Father, I pray You'd bless tonight as we open up Your Word. Lord, I need You to help me. I need You to guide my thoughts, guide my speech. Help me to know what to leave out and what to bring into this message tonight. As we continue to study and to examine what the Scripture has to say about the marks of manliness. And Lord, how desperately needed it is in the culture that we live in, that we would be as Christian people, not amongst those who have gender confusion or are compromising with anything that is solid with regards to man and womankind. I pray, Father, that You would help us to have a heart to be men and women who both in our own distinction represent, both equally represent the image of God, as we are both image bearers of You. Lord, as we focus on the importance of manliness, I pray that every man that is here tonight, every young man that is here tonight, that we would be inspired and encouraged to be men who rise up to meet the standard that You have set in Your Word for what is truly the marks of manliness. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have been in a series titled Marks of Manliness. And in this series, we have examined, first of all, the need for a reformation of manliness in the 21st century. And I think that any honest Christian, even if they are heavily influenced by the culture around us, any honest, true Christian would understand that even if they are compromising on what they believe, that the culture and biblical Christianity stand in a juxtaposition. They stand in opposition to one another. What God says in His Word about what manliness is and what the world is portraying about gender are distinctly different. We have looked thus far at the importance of manly strength, and how that strength that comes from the Lord is a kind of strength that endures hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that having done all to stand, continues to stand. We've looked at the importance of manly courage, that kind of courage that God would have us to have as men that springs forward in the face of danger rather than shrinking back, that springs forward to stand for truth and righteousness on behalf of our family rather than compromising that truth little by little. And we've looked at the importance in the last message of manly wisdom. How that the wisdom that we need as men in the 21st century is a wisdom that comes from above. Now, I will preface this message by saying, as I have said in weeks past, that it is important to understand many of the things that we're looking at, the marks of manliness that we are studying in the Scripture, they have a feminine version or a feminine application that is different in some regards that could be applied for the women of our congregation. But this is a focus on the men in particular, because I believe that when there are strong and faithful manly men that are leading in the church and in the home, there are going to be a grateful, flourishing, confident women that are there by their side. It is when men shrink back from their responsibility that women bear the burden both of the man and the woman, oftentimes in the home, and it causes life to be less than pleasurable. It causes their burden to be heavier than God meant it to be in bearing both the weight of the man and the woman. Tonight, I want to continue in this series by looking at the importance of manly responsibility. Manly responsibility. The kind of responsibility that says, I own that. I take responsibility for that. When something happens, whether good, bad, or indifferent, it still is something, if it's in your purview, if it's in your relationship, you take responsibility for that. If I could begin by using an example of of my family. Not in the sense of as an example that we are the example family, but an example in the sense that my family bears the name Houston. My name is Craig Houston. And I have a wife. Her name is Emily, formerly Grogan. She became a Houston. She took upon a relationship with me. And in that moment, I took on a responsibility of being her husband and taking responsibility for her care and nourishment as my wife. And then God has given to us a few children over the years. And those children, they also bear our name. And those children, sometimes they do what is good and sometimes they do what is not good. And all the time, I'm responsible as a father to say, yep, those are my children. Right? I don't want to say that in a negative way. I'm saying that in the sense that that is what it means to take responsibility. I have responsibility as a husband to see that my wife would flourish in her walk with the Lord, even though she has her own individual responsibility as a Christian woman to grow in grace and godliness. I have a responsibility to care for her in a way that helps to put her in a position where flourishing in her walk with the Lord is a profitable and a obtainable thing. Ephesians says, I am to wash my wife with the water of the word. I'm to lead her in that way, to care for her and to take responsibility for her spiritual growth and sustenance as the head of our family. As a father, I am supposed to raise up my children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are the same are true for you. That responsibility is not given to anyone else. Training up my children isn't given to the school board. It's not given to the Sunday school class. It's not given to anyone else. It's given to me. It's my responsibility. And though there may be others that come under that responsibility and help in the process that bring girding up, if you will, of what I'm trying to do as a father, the reality is I am responsible for my children. It's interesting that in our culture, even though there's more and more of a pressure to give greater and greater, you know, freedoms, if you will, to young people, there is also a reaction to the fact that you are ultimately responsible for that freedom you give them. If they go out and commit crimes and they're underage, they go out and do things, you are responsible. You have to own that. There is a need for us to take responsibility. Now, here's one of the problems that we need to identify with regards to the culture that we live in. Men in our modern day culture have become very soft and have acquiesced their responsibilities. They have given them over to others too many times. In fact, the very word responsibility sometimes is like fingers on a chalkboard. to people. You need to take responsibility for your actions. You need to take responsibility for your chores. You need to take responsibility for your work. Taking responsibility in our modern culture is something that's not very popular. It's almost like bringing up something that is filled with reproach. Be responsible. Take responsibility. Responsibility implies the need to take a load, to bear a load, to bear a burden. Responsibility is about carrying weight. And people don't like to carry weight. It's about carrying a burden. People don't like to carry burdens. They like to have their life unhindered, unencumbered by responsibility, don't they? As much as they can wash their hands of, they do in the culture that we live in. Young men, I want to encourage tonight. In particular, you have grown up in a culture that has not required as much of you as in regards to responsibility. Responsibility is something more than making it to the next level of World of Warcraft or making it through the next, whatever the newest, hottest game is. Like making it to the next level. That's, I'm responsible for that. I've really accomplished something. Or maybe for you, some great achievement of responsibility is actually making it to work or school in the morning. You don't know what I've done. Like, I showed up to work. You say, you shouldn't mock or make fun of people. Sometimes it gets their attention a little bit. Right? If you are an employer or a manager in this generation, you understand what I'm talking about. It's not always easy to get people to take responsibility. Some of you work at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. This is going to sound disparaging, but I have enough evidence to know this. There are people that make a living getting out of responsibility. Now, not to pick on the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard alone. I know that there are hard workers there. It happens in any kind of big employer where you can hide from the responsibilities that are at hand. That is a part of the sin nature that is revealed in our culture by people not wanting to take responsibility. In today's culture, it's even frowned upon, oftentimes, to give your children chores, responsibilities, expectations. And when they do not achieve those expectations or those responsibilities, there may be even disciplinary matters to take care of. You say, how cruel. Children need to be children. They don't need to be working and carrying all that load and that weight and that responsibility. That is just cruel and unusual to the children of this generation. Really? It builds character. It shows them that there can be satisfaction in taking responsibility. When there is a well done, thou good and faithful son or daughter, when there is a good job, when there's an attaboy because they have accomplished their task, that can build up and encourage them in a way that not having any responsibility, just doing whatever they want to do, will not. If you're like our family, maybe you have had an opportunity over Christmas to take some time off. Now, we always close the office down at the church, and out of the three staff, one can leave, and the others, there's things to do, and we've been working this past few weeks. So obviously, there's sermons to prepare. There's some situations that have to be attended to, but we tried to take that week between Christmas and New Year at home. We close down the office, and you know, there's something beautiful about that for a few days, just time together, playing games, doing puzzles, you know, just enjoying fun things together. But how many of you understand what I mean when I say after a week, then you start seeing the kind of unrest that takes place in the hearts and minds of your children, because now they're starting to have maybe a little bit more demands and selfishness, and I don't want to do that. I want to go watch more I Love Lucy, or I want to go and do this or do that. And you realize that there is a need for that routine of responsibility to be in place in their life. It is a good thing for them in general, just like it is a good thing for you, right? So we're back tomorrow, back to school and back to the normal routine. And it's just like at the end of summer, how many of you are ready to get back into routine? And part of it, you say, well, I just need more routine in my life. But part of what you may not realize is that it's a needful thing for there to be a structure and responsibility that everybody has in moving forward that brings harmony, if you will, to a home. That was a little bit of a sidetrack, but you get hopefully what I'm talking about. Taking care of, to teach your children, giving them responsibilities, giving them chores and expectations actually helps them to grow up. Now, I want to have a balance in the raising of my family. I talk about this with my sons and my daughters. They're in their teen years. I want them to be responsible. I want them to work hard. At the same time, I have the ability and desire for them to also want to experience some things of their youth that they don't get to experience as adults, like maybe being involved in some activities, extracurricular activities, sports leagues, things of that nature, and yet to find that balance. But I want them to know, as they're being raised, that they need to take increasing amounts of responsibility as young men and young women. If you don't, when it comes time for adulthood, you're going to have a problem. People don't turn from the magic age of 17 to the magic age of 18 and all of a sudden, like, say, it's time to be responsible. I'm going to go out and conquer the world. I'm going to get a job or go to college. It doesn't happen that way. Right? That's why there are many professional video game players who have learned to live on rations of Top Ramen and Mountain Dew over the century. This is not a new thing. Right? This is why at times when it gets excessive, when men are never required to take responsibility, they may still be in their 30s at home having mom taking care of all their needs. If you think, oh, that doesn't really happen in this culture. Yes, it does. I remember years ago having to try to convince a dear woman that it was time for her to lay down the law and to kick out her son, who is in his mid-30s, who did nothing but stay in the back room and smoke weed. They're like, it's okay to say it's time to go. But it's my son. We need to give increasing amounts of responsibility so that they learn how to grow into young men who don't shirk responsibility, but who say, I want more of it. I want to grow in my responsibility. So this is the problem of modern man. A few weeks ago, as we began this series, I identified some other problems. I'll briefly mention them tonight. With regards to men in the culture, many men try to avoid. Today, men try to avoid everything possible to get out of any form of responsibility. They mess up at work. Instead of saying, that was me, I'm so sorry. They try to pass it off. No, I didn't do that. Even when it's very obvious it was their responsibility. They avoid anything. Sometimes it appears like labor. We recently, having moved to the city almost 3 years ago, we have less of the outdoor activities that are good and helpful in the development of young men. And so this past week, one of the activities that we did was a woodcut. And we went woodcutting here. We had wood that was already cut down, big rounds, and we had to go cut wood. And when it was time to go to the woodcut, everyone was excited, including our youngest son, who shall remain nameless, not Gabriel, but our other younger son, who was all excited to go to the woodcut until he learned that everyone else was going to someone's house to hang out and have fun. And then it was not an easy task. And there had to be some lessons learned about the importance of, hey, it is a good thing to go learn how to chop wood and to do these manly kinds of things, these things that take labor and effort and that are toilsome. It helps to build your character. That is an important thing. I want my sons and my daughters in different ways to learn how to take on responsibility and not avoid them. Many men seek to avoid every kind of responsibility possible. Many men abandon. They lack a responsibility is seen today in the vast number of men who are truly abandoning all of their responsibilities. Just taking their hands off of it. They may be actually present physically, bodily, but abandoning their responsibilities. This happens in about every area of life. Men abandon their jobs, even though they still expect a paycheck. They might abandon their payments that they have when they've made debts and commitments. They abandon their church commitments. They abandon their commitments to their own family. And in all kinds of variety, they abandon. The worst type, and this is something sadly and we have seen in our church on a few occasions, and it has been heart-wrenching to see men who have abandoned their role as husband and father, abandoning their families and completely disappearing, divorcing their wives or leaving them high and dry, and leaving their children and running away from their covenant responsibilities to seek their own pleasures. They are men who have forsaken the task that God has called them to. It is said that somewhere around 43% of children tonight in this country will go to bed without a father in the home. Fatherlessness is abandonment of responsibility. Over 50% of homes end in divorce. This is homes in general, not necessarily Christian homes. It's tragic when men abandon. Some men abuse. And to abuse those under your care, whether your wife or your children or family members of any kind, is a dereliction or a neglect of responsibility. Men are abusive toward women too frequently. Just had someone share today, this is something outside of the church and in their place of occupation, of dealing with someone who beat up their spouse. It's tragic. It's an abandonment of the responsibility to cherish and to care for your spouse. You can abuse with words. You can abuse with attitudes. You can abuse physically and in all kinds of ways. This is prevalent in our culture. And it should never be acceptable in the church. You know, men today, too frequently in the culture, want all the pleasure and the position of authority, of being a man, maybe even in their home and in the culture, but they don't want to take any of the responsibility that comes with it. Remember this, authority flows to those who take responsibility. You want authority? You want respect in your home? You want authority in your home? You want to have a certain kind of gravitas in your place of work? You want to have that within the church and you want to use it rightly? Then take responsibility. Authority flows to those who take responsibility. It flees from those who shirk responsibility. Somebody might say, I'm the boss here. I'm the authority. I'm the husband. I'm the father. I'm the manager. I'm the superintendent. And they beat their chest and say who they are, but they don't take ownership or responsibility for things. Authority flees from them. We have a problem in the culture. How do we reverse the problem? We need men of God who will say, I'm going to use the words of Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, and this is an adaptation, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to do my best to be a faithful steward of all that God has given to me. And I'm going to take responsibility for my own personal life, for my own walk with the Lord, for my family, for my wife, for my children, and for my responsibilities that God gives me in the culture and in my occupation. I'm going to own it. I'm going to take responsibility and to seek to do my best in all that God has given me to do. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, and keep your finger in Lamentations. We're going to come back there. Here's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, at the end of the passage. This is how we reverse the problem of modern man in the church. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man, chapter 3, verse 18. No man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he had taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. To sum this up, and I believe that as men facing the culture that we live in and desiring to take responsibility, we first need to recognize we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are here to glorify God. We are Christ, and Christ is God's. And if we're going to stand, we need to recognize our position and our standing before the Lord is as to be a faithful servant of Christ. It says in verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 4, let a man so account of us as the ministers, i.e. the servants of Christ, and the stewards or the managers of the mysteries or the things of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found, I want to put this word in there, responsible. To be faithful. We need to be faithful men to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to us. To recognize our position in Christ is that we are to be His servants. So anything He calls us to, we should be willing to take and take responsibility for that. To not shrink or shrink away from the responsibility, even when those responsibilities are not fun. Even when those responsibilities, as the servants of Christ, may inconvenience us. God desires us to be His servants. The word minister in verse 1 means servant. The context of Scripture here relates to Paul the apostle and other ministers or pastors is equally applicable to each and every one of us. God has called you to be men who are responsible servants over your household, ministers of the stewards or managers over the things that God has given to you, but not dictators. We're called to be servant leaders who take responsibility. He calls us to love and to serve our wives like Christ does the church. He calls us to be dads, and this is something that. All of us can grow in. He calls us to be dads who get in the nitty-gritty of our children's lives. He calls us to be dads that take the kind of responsibility that help our wives with our children, help to clean up the puke when they're sick, help to wipe the noses when they're not feeling well, and help to discipline our children and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. We need to be found faithful in that. That is our responsibility. It was the President of the United States, Harry Truman, that famously had a sign on his desk. Does anyone know what the sign said? The buck stops here. It's a phrase that the President had emblazoned on the front of his desk. Not to say, I'm the boss. Not to say, I'm the big cheese. But to say, I take responsibility. To say the buck stops here was a phrase that meant, I'm the one that's going to make decisions, but I'm also the one that's ultimately going to be responsible for those decisions. Winston Churchill said, responsibility is the price of greatness. Taking responsibility for important decisions, for important causes, is the only way for greatness. Now, I know that he probably would use it in a different context, and I'm not here to say we should strive to be great men in the sense of great in the eyes of the world, but we should be great men as far as men of God who serve our families and care for the things that God gives responsibility for. And if God makes us great in the culture, that is His business to raise up and to pull down. But we need to be those who take the responsibility, who say, as for me and my house, the buck stops here. As for me and my house, I'm going to take responsibility. Lamentations, the passage that we began with tonight, talks about the importance of learning to take responsibility, or to, in the words of Jeremiah the prophet, to bear the load in their youth. Verse 27 of Lamentations 3, it says, It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That he bear the yoke in his youth. What does that mean, to bear the yoke? We don't understand this frequently when we hear even of Christ, when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke was a wooden structure oftentimes that would be to put over the top of the oxen. And it would be what they would harness in the plows or whatever they were trying to pull with that oxen. They would put the harness on, they would put the yoke on, so that they could make that beast a beast of burden. So that they could put that beast to work, if you will. And God wants us to understand the importance of learning to bear the load, or to put on the yoke in our youth. To learn to take responsibilities and to be able to be used for good and noble purposes. John MacArthur said in his commentary, the yoke in his youth speaks of the duty from God, including the disciplinary training that Jeremiah received in his youth. That all of the things, all of the testings and the trials and the responsibilities that were given in our youth prepare us for the things that God has for us in the future. Think of somebody like David. David didn't just one day run out and slay Goliath, did he? David started by tending the sheep, by caring for the flocks of his father. And he learned to care for them and to protect them and take responsibility for them, which was their family's livelihood. He slew the lion and he slew the bear. Those are things that proved and tested him along the way as he learned to take greater and greater responsibility. As we think about this passage of Scripture, and we think about our own lives as men, if it is good to bear the load or the yoke in our youth, then that must mean it is also good to bear the yoke when we're older. And I say that in this way. That is a training ground. Because the responsibilities don't get smaller, do they? The weight doesn't get lighter. Young men, when you are given responsibilities as a youth to take care of something within your own household, and as I look at some of the teenagers here tonight, when you're given responsibilities or chores or expectations that you're to take, and you think that weight is so heavy, and you just don't know how you can bear up under that load, I just want you to know that's just proving ground for the future, because the weights get heavier. A young man may look forward to the future and say, I just can't wait till I can get out of my house and get married. And then things will just be perfect. They'll be easy. And all of a sudden you get married and you get that responsibility. And yes, there is blessings of that. And yes, it is wonderful. But all of a sudden you realize very quickly the weight is heavier. I now not only have to take care of me, I have to take care of me and my wife. I have to take care of this responsibility. And this gets increasingly greater along the passage of time. But this is how life is meant to work. Well, I want to encourage you, fathers and mothers, to help your children learn to bear the yoke in their youth, is because that's how they prepare for the future. Now think about this. I've got several illustrations. The weight trainer must constantly add more weight to his routine if he's to build the muscle he desires. If you lift the same weight, you can continue to just lift that smaller weight continually, and you'll build some endurance, but you'll max out as far as the amount of actual muscle strengthening that you'll have. You have to increase the weight, and that weight is increased incrementally. The runner must start short. As you can tell, I am an expert in such things as running. I ran to the mailbox and I was winded. Now, if you've been to my house, you know the mailbox is on the front porch outside my door. All right. But that run from the kitchen, that was hard. The runner must start with the short distance and add mileage. And at the same time of adding mileage, shorten the time as he increased both strength and stamina along the way. They're learning to bear the load, and that load then is increased over time. You think about a musician. Have you ever been to a concert? You've been to Benaroya Hall, or you've been to the Bremerton Symphony, and you see somebody playing at a high skill level, and you think, wow, I want to do that. I'd love to do that. And then you start learning how to play an instrument, and you realize for the first 10 years, it sounds like, and what do a lot of people do? They don't make it to Benaroya Hall, right? Now that could be because they don't make it because they give up, or it could be because their instrument mysteriously goes missing. The musician that one day wants to play at Benaroya Hall must first start by learning elementary principles of music, then increasingly with diligence of practice and difficulty of arrangement, they're going to become more and more of an excellent and proficient player. They'll become more and more of a master by taking greater amounts of responsibility. Several men in our church have been in a journeyman process. They've been in an apprenticeship. They start out as an apprentice, and they start out the job, and maybe they have some skill set, maybe they have some background, or maybe they start from scratch, and they're given instruction on smaller things. And as time goes by, after that 3 or 4 or 5 years of apprenticeship, they become journeymen. It doesn't mean they have no more to learn in the future, but they are identified as people who have a certain skill set that was built increasingly or incrementally along the way. There's so many different illustrations that can be had, that can be looked at. A soldier who goes away to boot camp isn't a soldier. A person who goes to boot camp doesn't start out as a soldier. They are made into a soldier. They start out very green, and they're given a huge load up front that they cannot bear. And over time, that load increases actually over the course of boot camp, but they are now able to bear it because they have been brought to that place over a process of 8 to 13 weeks, depending the branch of service, with greater responsibility, but at the same time with greater conditioning and things over that time frame. A man who takes a wife immediately has a new blessing and a load to bear. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's not good, but it's hard. Having another person who's depending on you to be cared for, nourished, clothed, sheltered, loved, all of a sudden all of the things you maybe used to do in your singleness and all of your independence that were just the day-to-day operation of your life are no longer even a part of your life. It's a sad thing that the predominant amount of divorces happen in the first 7 years. Why would that be? This is the honeymoon stage. How could you get divorced in the first 7 years? I'm not saying this condemning that. I'm saying here's the reality. In that first 7 years, there's a lot of new and weighty responsibilities that become too difficult for people to bear who have not been taught to bear the load of responsibility in other areas, and frequently they give up. The man who becomes a father. I remember when my first child was born, the beauty and the amazingness of watching Naomi be born and just bursting into tears at what my wife had gone through and the fact that this little child is part of me, part of my wife. And then the weight of the fact that for the next 18 to 20-something years, I'm going to be caring for, supporting financially, nurturing, instructing, and discipling. The load is heavy, but it's good. Responsibility is something good to bear in our youth. What should we do if we're going to bear this load? If we're going to take this responsibility, if we're going to be manly men who are men of responsibility, we need the Lord. Right, go back to Lamentations. We need to remember to trust in the Lord and His mercies, that they're new every morning. I can't do this on my own. You cannot do this on your own. You need the Lord. Trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has been a theme verse for my wife and I. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I need to trust in the Lord. I need to know that it is of the Lord's mercies that I am not consumed because his compassions fail not. I need to trust that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning and great is God's faithfulness, even when I lack it. And I need to know that I'm responsible to seek the Lord. If you're a follower of Christ, your responsibility as a man is to grow in Christ, to seek him with all of your heart, to seek him early, to seek him patiently. It says in verse number 20, for it says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope quietly and wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse number 25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and that the soul that seeketh for him. We need to seek the Lord. Seek him for his guidance to as we take on responsibilities that he gives us. Seek him for his strength. Seek him for his wisdom. And be responsible to wait on him as we walk in his will, seeking to walk in his will, and to know that he is the one who will deliver us. Sometimes we get in difficult places, and the responsibilities we bear are great, and they're heavy, and we need the Lord's help, and we need to wait for his timing. And then we need to be responsible to bear the load in our youth. What time is it? I'll leave you with this, and we have to come back because I'm just getting out of the introduction. I love this quote. It's a great quote. It's from a pastor. It says, men are like trucks. They drive better under a load. Men are like trucks. They drive better under a load. Taking responsibility, learning to bear the load is a good thing. Because men, you're to be like trucks. You're supposed to be the one who bears the load. You're supposed to be the one who takes responsibility. Have you ever driven a truck? And I know we live in the world of four-wheel drive trucks, but when trucks first were on the scene, they were almost exclusively two-wheel drive vehicles. And during the winter time, if you wanted to get any traction to be able to get anywhere, you had to load down the bed of the truck because it had leaf springs that caused it to raise up, and you put weight in there so that it would drive better. And here's the reality. Men today in the culture want to abdicate and abandon responsibility. And I want to encourage you, young men in particular, don't be afraid of taking on responsibility. Because even though it is a weight, I think it helps you to move forward better. I think it helps you to drive straighter. I think it helps you to get better traction in life. To just go along, and here's what I want to say. And I know I say things like negative about video games and all these kinds of things, and I'm not saying it's always sinful and things like that, but let me just give you an example. If you have 20, 30 hours a week to waste on video games, you need a load. If you have 20, 30 hours just to fritter away on Netflix every week, you need a load. You need to help someone. You need to serve Christ's church. You need to take care to go care for a widow in the church. You need to do something that takes a significant amount of your time, doing something that actually does good. You need to get a second job. Oh, pastor, I'm already working pretty much full time. Like, how many hours are you working? Like 30, 32? A day? No, a week. I'm serious. You need to learn how to bear the load in your youth. It's a good thing. Kind of a bad place to end, but I have to, because otherwise we will have a riot next door and that will not be good. Remember this tonight. It is a good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Next Lord's Day, God helping me, we'll look at the importance of responsibility to be both a provider and a protector in our homes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. Help me to be able to be an encouragement to God's people, to challenge the men and women of our congregation to both be men who are men who bear the marks of manliness, to follow after Christ and his taking of responsibility, even responsibility that was alien to him, responsibility of our own sin that he took on the cross, and to live our lives for others, to live our lives taking responsibility, to live our lives bearing burdens, knowing it is a good thing. And I pray, Father, that the women of this congregation would desire and encourage manliness amongst the men of our congregation, their sons, their brothers, husbands, fathers. And I pray that it would be a rich blessing to us as a whole, that men would grow in taking responsibility. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.